Michael Overend, a volunteer with the nonprofit Citizens Climate Lobby, leads community workshops using En-ROADS. Users choose from a menu of climate policies, such as charging carbon polluters a fee or subsidizing EV purchases, and they can tweak variables like the amount charged on a ton of carbon. The tool provides instant feedback on how those policies would affect global temperature, sea level rise, and other outcomes if they were implemented worldwide.
It can be used to spark discussion among our leadership. It can be used to help educate community members
and inform action on the path toward a safer future. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
Hello and welcome to the Earth Church. I'm Reverend Billy, here in New York City, and this is the second in the series of God Damn It sermons. We take the phrase God Damn It from the wonderful speech that Kurt Vonnegut gave to a group of pre-verbal babies, just a few weeks old. He addressed the babies and talked to them about life. He said some basic things about life. There's night, there's day. You might live to be a century on the outside, have a good time. And then he said, but God damn it, you've got to be kind. And we take that assignment seriously now, in this age, when all of society's breaking down, starvation and war is everywhere, strong men, not just Trump, all over the world, authoritarians chasing down freedom. And they want to end kindness. Here in New York, if you have no motive, no apparent reason, you can't monetize it. There's no way to convert it into some kind of gain, some kind of personal career move. If you're just being kind to a stranger for no reason, you'll get a ticket. And if you persist in doing it, you'll go to jail. Kindness has been banned in the city that has a 22-story high Lady Liberty out in the harbor, raising the torch with the Book of Justice in the crook of her arm, who's saying, welcome all of you. And she has no motive. And Donald Trump would tear her down, and our mayor would tear her down if they could. They can't quite do it. Kindness is there. And people are coming 5,000 miles outwitting countless gunmen at borders, risking their lives, getting leaky boats, dangerous buses, to get here because of a dream. And the dream, part of the dream, a big part of the dream, is the kindness that we offer people who dream. Yes, come here and dream with us of a better future. But that future is feared. The future that has kindness in it is illegal. It's banned. We know better. We're going to go right into that capitalistic weirdness that's happening right now, this starvation and the wars everywhere, the strong men. We're going right into that. We're sailing right into that with kindness. Do this with me now. Somebody give me an earth. Hallelujah.
Be Kind campaign has been around for a while now, and it has been used to promote a message of kindness. The campaign was started in 2003 by the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. The campaign is about being kind to the world, which means being kind to people, animals, plants, and the environment. Inked Ideas carries shirts that have this message on them. They are currently running a promotion where they offer free shipping on all orders over $35.
Oh, yeah, Este señor.
Hello, it's the Reverend again. I would like to thank the Hopi people for the blessings, song, the wise words, and the rhythm, and the, just such a feeling of gladness. And I would like to thank Leon Gieco and Mercedes Sosa for Solo Le Pido a Dios. I ask only of God. I'd like to dedicate I Only Ask of God. This song was brought to me originally by Bernardo Palumbo from El Taller Latino Americano. And Bernardo, we miss you terribly. I wish you a good voyage. Here's the translation. I only ask of God that I do not be indifferent to pain, that the arid death does not find me empty and lonely without having done enough. The time of this emergence of this song was after the colonels had dominated and killed so many in Argentina. I only ask of God that I not be indifferent to injustice, that they do not slap me on the other cheek after a claw scratches me my fate. I only ask of God that I not be indifferent to war, that huge monster crushes hard the poor innocence of people. I only ask that I not be indifferent to deception, if a traitor is more powerful than the many, that these many don't forget him easily. I only ask of God that I not be indifferent to the future. Hopeless is the one who has to leave and live in a different culture. Oh, that must be a reference to the colonel's, the vicious violence against anybody that didn't resemble their right-wing political position and the people that had to go into exile as a result. Now, after Savitri D in the News, which comes next, we have a long song that is a remarkable parade of musical moments in which Jason Candler, our editor of this show, Jason Candler on saxophone and Brendan Burke on drums, the two of them anticipate each other's musical thoughts and feelings in an uncanny, mysterious way. And that's followed by a short story called Nelson, in which I speak. Well, thank you, everyone. Blessings, safety, and wildness. Earth-a-luya.
Earth-a-luya.
News from the natural world. I'm Savitri D. North Atlantic right whales, of which there are only an estimated 356 left in the wild, are less likely to have calves if they have been tangled in ropes from fishing gear. Using whale sightings data from across 40 years, a new paper finds that female whales who have survived entanglement are much less likely to have babies than those who have never been entangled. North Atlantic right whales can weigh up to 140,000 pounds and grow as long as 52 feet. They are critically endangered and are continuously declining in population. They were heavily hunted during the whaling era, known as the right whale to kill. Fewer than 70 females are currently reproductively active. The summer solstice acts as a starting gun to synchronize beech tree reproduction across vast distances in Europe. The research team looked at fine-scale changes in plant responses to temperature and found that the 21st of June, the summer solstice and the longest day of the year, acted as a celestial cue, triggering synchronized responses to weather conditions among widely separated populations of European beech. Protesting oil and gas pipeline development harms mental health and creates distrust in government. A new study analyzes the impact of public participation in pipeline protest and finds that engaging in the public processes associated with pipelines has serious mental health and physical impacts. The study found that pipeline development and related public participation processes were associated with a long list of physical symptoms, including insomnia, high blood pressure, heart problems, teeth grinding, headaches, tremors, irregular heartbeat, shingles, heart problems, chest pain, strokes, and brain hemorrhages. At least one person said they were so physically sickened by the stress they felt about the pipeline and the public participation process that they had to move. Studies found that people who participated in these public processes felt their input was dismissed, that their concerns were not addressed, and that they did not have any impact on decision-making about the pipelines. The more people participated in public feedback processes, the stronger their feelings of disillusionment were. Research focused on natural gas pipelines, but the findings are relevant to any scenario where government agencies invite public participation. For example, permitting for fracking wells and petrochemical plants are often contentious and generally overseen by state regulatory agencies that may invite public input, but typically lack any way to incorporate that input into permitting decisions. The research was led by Shannon Bell, a sociologist from Blacksburg, Virginia, which is in the pathway of the highly contested Mountain Valley Pipeline. A new analysis of more than 400 species suggests that there are many mammals where the females are actually the same size as or larger than the males. The research highlights the growing awareness of sex biases in biology, but the team note that their paper is not the final word on biological sex and size, as they were only able to include 7% of mammals in their study. Almost half of bats have larger females than males. And 60% of female rabbits and hares are larger than the males. Horses, lemurs, golden moles, and tenrecs often have equally sized sexes. This was also true in almost half of rodents, the most species-rich group of mammals. Elephant seals show the most dramatic difference between the sexes. The males are, on average, 3 times heavier than their female counterparts. At the 55th Lunar and Planetary Science Conference, scientists revealed the discovery of a gigantic volcano and possible sheet of buried glacier ice in the eastern part of Mars's Tharsis volcanic province near the planet's equator. Provisionally designated Noctis Volcano, pending an official name, the structure is 29,600 feet in elevation and spans 280 miles in width. The volcano's gigantic size and complex modification history indicate that it has been active for a very long time. It is an ancient and long-lived volcano so deeply eroded that one could hike, drive, or fly through it to examine, sample, and date different parts of its interior to study Mars's evolution through time. It has also had a long history of heat interacting with water and ice, which make it a prime location for astrobiology and the continuing search for signs of life. Imported giant sequoia trees are very well adapted to the UK, growing at rates closer to their native ranges and capturing large amounts of carbon during their long lives. There are an estimated 500,000 redwoods in the UK. In the wild, they are endangered, with fewer than 80,000 giant sequoias remaining in their native California habitat. Giant sequoias grow quickly and are also some of the longest living organisms in the world, keeping up their rapid growth throughout their 3,000 plus year lives. They can grow up to 90 meters tall, and their wide trunks give them great volume, so they are fire-resistant, able to survive blazes that would wipe out forests of other tree species. Intense storms swept through Kansas and Missouri this week and brought whipping winds, possible tornadoes, and what some described as guerrilla hail. In Kansas, hail nearly the size of a softball and measuring 4 inches was reported. Hail causes about $1 billion in damage to crops and property every year. A hailstorm that hit Kansas City in 2001 was the costliest ever in the U.S., causing about $2 billion in damage. The largest recorded hailstone in the U.S. was nearly as big as a volleyball and fell on July 23, 2010, in Vivian, South Dakota. It weighed almost 2 pounds. City-dwelling moths may be evolving smaller wings, possibly due to light pollution. Scientists note that other urban factors could have played a role in the smaller wing size, such as the more fragmented environment found in urban areas or different types of food sources. They also note that it is possible that the urban moths may be experiencing changes to their vision or the way their brains process the environment due to living in constantly lit areas. In a letter recently published in Nature Human Behavior, scientists are advocating for the recognition and mitigation of another type of environmental pollution that poses equivalent personal and societal dangers, information overload. Researchers compare information overload to other historical shifts in society. The Industrial Revolution gave rise to air pollution, and environmental activists have helped usher in legal and economic changes to help curb that pollution. Similarly, so-called information pollution, or data smog, must be addressed. Females of some whale species have evolved to live drastically longer lives so they can care for their families, new research shows. The study focused on 5 whale species that, along with humans, are the only mammals known to go through menopause. The findings show that females of these whale species that experience menopause live around 40 years longer than other female whales of a similar size. By living longer without extending their reproductive lifespan, these females have more years to help their children and grandchildren without increasing the overlap period when they compete with their daughters by breeding and raising calves at the same time. This new research shows that despite being separated by 90 million years of evolution, whales and humans show remarkably similar life histories, which have evolved independently. Menopause is known to exist in 5 species of toothed whale: short-finned pilot whales, false killer whales, killer whales, narwhals, and beluga whales. As well as outliving females of other similar-sized species, females in these 5 species outlive the males of their own species. For example, female killer whales can live into their 80s, while males are typically dead by 40. And now the sounds of extinction. Many of our favorite cheeses, including Camembert, Brie, and various blue cheese varieties, are on the verge of extinction due to a collapse in microbial diversity. Cheese itself contains its own ecosystem of molds, yeasts, and bacteria that work in tandem. However, in recent years, the genetic diversity of such microbes has declined immensely. Many signature French cheeses rely on just one single fragile strain of fungi, Penicillium camemberti, which is unfortunately at risk of dying out. Unlike most molds, Penicillium camemberti can't reproduce sexually with other fungi to create new genetic diversity. As a result, cheesemakers have to clone it, but that has become increasingly difficult because of mutations that interfere with the fungi's ability to produce spores. And hear the sound of French cheese. We'll be right back.
I went to a fancy school for about a year, and I got kicked out as fast as I could, but it took a while. I played a goalie on the high school soccer team, and I would leave the goal and run all over the field and make them angry at me, and then I'd wear cowboy boots in the cafeteria. And I noticed this kind of short boy with bad acne and blonde hair and bangs, and his name was Nelson. And we became friends, and I don't remember ever enjoying anything about our friendship at all. We'd walk around and then sit and then walk. It was hard to know what was going on there. I think he was my only friend. I think he was from some royal family in Luxembourg or something. In my fantasies, I thought maybe he was the victim of some kind of inbred thing through the centuries. And suddenly I wasn't there, and suddenly he wasn't there. Suddenly he was dead. I heard about that through some non-existent grapevine. I don't know if it came through. Maybe it came to my parents through some sort of newsletter after I'd been kicked out of there, and I was back in the local public school with farm kids. Nelson died. But he left a note that our friendship meant so much to him. He was grateful to know me. I feel the same way about him now. Must have then, too. I must have liked him. Nelson.